You're listening to the early evening welcome on RNIB Connect Radio with me, Amelia Hilton. And as it's 2024, I have the resident RNIB Connect Radio TV and film lovers, Chris Wallace and Alan Russell, here with me to discuss what we're looking forward to coming out this year. Hi both, thanks so much for joining me. Alan, we'll start with you. What TV show are you looking forward to this year?
I know it's not absolutely been confirmed yet, but Stranger Things, possibly the final Netflix series.
Real cliffhanger last time.
I kind of thought that was a good series to end things on. I thought when it started, it was going through really well. You were learning a bit about, you know, where all the upside down came from and all that kind of thing. And I thought this would be good. They get rid of the baddie and they all run off happily into the sunset, and right, they brought in this, the town's been attacked and being split apart. And I always kind of worry that when series are so good, I'm going to get a series that isn't, and that'll just ruin the whole thing. But I'm kind of looking forward to this, and it's going to be weird because they're like in their 20s and I think they've still got to play teenagers.
I agree with Alan. I think what was amazing about Stranger Things to date, though, is it doesn't feel like any of the series have actually let us down yet. Mm. In fact, I would say that the last series that was on, with its Kate Bush and its Metallica, actually elevated the Stranger Things game.
Do you have any predictions for another 80s artist that might re-enter the pop canon for the next season?
Kate Bush would be rubbing her hands to the bank when the song came back into the charts again and went to the top. Maybe you could have some Def Leppard in there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be quite good. They're kind of late 80s from the Hysteria album, something like that.
I'd like the B-52s to make a massive comeback. Rome would be amazing. Like, I mean, if you can picture the scene where all the kids are leaving and then then we get Rome coming in.
As long as they don't play Rock Lobster, that would just spoil it for me, I'm afraid.
Chris, what about you? What's your TV show that you're excited for?
Well, I grew up reading the books of Stephen King, and my favourite book to read of his was It. And back in the 90s, we got a TV miniseries starring Tim Curry as Pennywise the Dancing Clown. And then in the last few years, we've had It Part 1 and It Part 2. They are now making a TV series which is a prequel to the most recent films. It's called Welcome to Derry, and Derry is the fictional place that Stephen King has created for his monster Pennywise the Dancing Clown to live, and he only appears every 30 years. So the prequel is a very strange one. So the prequel to the latest movies, the TV series, stars James Remar and Madeleine Stowe, so big name Hollywood people, and it's going to tell the story of the appearance of Pennywise before the most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes place in the 60s, which is strange because the original book took place in the 50s and the 80s, and the new version takes place in the 60s and the 90s. I'm looking forward to that, to see what they do with it. It's something that we've not explored before. Even in the book of It explores a lot of the different periods that Pennywise appears, but it doesn't talk about the one that directly precedes the children that we meet in the book. I'm curious to see where that goes. For me, for a lover of all things Stephen King, who watched the Castle Rock TV series, but I'm very much looking forward to Welcome to Derry, and I hope they do with it as well as they did with the movies, because I think It Part 1 was the most successful horror film of all time. So,
Do you think you want it to be sort of intense horror gore?
I found that the recent movie adaptation relied really heavily on jump scares, quite a cheap way to get a scare. So I'm hoping that the series, because they've got more time to play with, they don't rely as much on the jump scares and work out the psychology of a terrifying clown that feeds on your fear and specifically attacks children. I think that is scary enough.
You want tension, don't you? You want the tension to build.
Well, speaking of building up the tension, my TV show is Bridgerton Season 3, which...
Any dancing clowns?
No dancing clowns, at least as far as I'm aware. We've been waiting for a long time. I know, Alan, you're a Bridgerton fan as well. It's been 1.5 years since season 2, and this is the big one because it's the love story between Penelope Featherington, she's kind of the underdog in the series, and Colin Bridgerton, who I don't think he deserves her personally, but hopefully this season will prove me differently. But I just, Bridgerton is great escapism. It's so silly. It's very grand. it pokes fun at itself, and Julie Andrews doing the voice reminds me of the Princess Diaries, which I loved when I was a kid. If you start watching this season, Penelope has a real beautiful transformation, because the kind of running joke is that her family are all, they've got bad taste, basically, and they're the badly dressed, sort of frilly, fussy ones among the ton in the town. And this season, she's got great outfits. She looks refined. She looks beautiful.
Penelope's my favourite character at the moment, so I'm really looking forward to this one as well.
Can I do a quick fire round of four other shows that I'm looking forward to? Ooh, we don't need to dive into it. Daredevil, Born Again, mm-hmm. is getting released by Disney+. Daredevil was the Matt Murdock blind superhero TV show that was on Netflix, was cancelled by Netflix, was picked up by Disney, and they're now bringing back Charlie Cox and the rest of the cast to continue that series on Disney+, so looking forward to that. The Penguin, Colin Farrell reprises his role.
I'm excited for that one too.
As the Penguin from The Batman. The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, Rick Grimes finally returns to The Walking Dead with his love interest Michonne. And Star Wars, The Acolyte, comes out this year with tales of the High Republic before it fell to the Galactic Empire.
Do you actually have time for anything else at home? You just go and watch telly.
I do, Alan. I've got time for movies.
Well, speaking of movies, let's move to you, Alan. What's your top?
Well, this was hard to pick. I saw Nosferatu.
I'm so excited for Nosferatu.
Which has got a Christmas Day at the moment anyway. When I last looked at it, it said a Christmas Day launch. Because you've got 1932, something like that, the original sort of black and white silent one.
The cast, I mean, Robert Eggers, great director. The Lighthouse is one of my favourite films.
Well, that was going to be my top one. But when I was looking through, what caught my eye was The Fall Guy. For those of you who love your 80s, and I dabble in that occasionally, it was a Glenn Larson TV series about a stuntman called Colt Seavers. And he was a kind of stuntman, but he also kind of did his a bit of a bounty hunter as well. It was Lee Majors who played the main character in that. It was a great series. Loved it. Saturday telly. I'm always worried when they kind of take a series, because I thought the A-Team, when they did the movie of that, was appalling. But I think, well, okay, we'll give it a go, because it's like Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
They're the, like, comedy gold duo.
I think the two of them will be great. I think Ryan Gosling's one of the directors or the producers of this as well. If you like a bit of action, a bit of tongue-in-cheek fun, that's going to be it. But I know when I watch it, I'm going to go, well, that wouldn't have happened in a TV series. Lee Majors wouldn't have done it that way. And I loved it so much, I actually got the Fall Guy emblem on the back of my denim jacket back in the 80s.
I recently revisited The Nice Guys, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. And I'm sure a lot of people in the last year went to see Barbie, and maybe they went to see Barbenheimer, and they know how funny Ryan Gosling can be. But if they want to see Ryan Gosling at his cool, calm, collective, funny best, The Nice Guys is a great film to check out. But that, to me, based on the trailer for The Fall Guy, looks like the Ryan Gosling that we're going to get. I would watch Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt on a seesaw. They're just so compelling. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one as well.
What's your pick, Chris?
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So it's a follow-up to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which came out a couple of years ago, which follows the grandchildren of Egon Spengler. And it was a much darker take on the very slapsticky comedy of Ghostbusters Answer the Call, which was the female Ghostbusters movie that came out. And it was a new generation of potential Ghostbusters. So a much darker tone. A discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes a chilling, freezing, evil force across New York City, and the new generation of Ghostbusters must team up with the old generation of Ghostbusters to protect New York and save the world from a second ice age. But the tone of the trailer just seemed to catch what that Ghostbusters original 1980s feel was. It stars Paul Rudd again. He was in Ghostbusters Afterlife. Annie Potts returns as the Secretary Janine from the original series, and obviously Ernie Hudson's back as Winston Zeddemore, with Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
You've sold me on it.
Yeah, it sounds great. My honourable mention is Mean Girls, the musical, the movie. I love the original film and I think it's going to be lots of fun. But I've actually gone for one that when I saw the trailer a couple years ago, I think it was delayed because of the strikes, I was so excited for, and it's Challengers, which stars so many great actors, all of which I'm really excited to see in roles I haven't seen them before. So it's a tennis player drama which involves sort of deceit and deception. There's a love triangle. It looks very psychological, and it's got Zendaya as what seems like quite a ruthless character.
Ambitious,
yeah. And it's got Josh O'Connor, who I love and who I think is a fantastic actor, and I'm really happy. He was in The Crown, so, you know, people do know who he is, but I'm glad that he's kind of got a lead role in a big Hollywood blockbuster, because I just think he's brilliant. And Mike Faist, who I saw for the first time in the new version of West Side Story, who was Riff, and he was brilliant in that. And it looks like he's playing sort of a much softer character in this. And it just looks really high stakes, really intense. There's loads of great outfits. There's going to be lots of great sports choreography. And yeah, it looks like a sultry thriller.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I remember seeing the trailer and feeling sort of drawn back to that Dangerous Liaisons kind of world of deception and sexuality, and it was bringing that sort of Adrian Lynn-style thriller back to the modern age that we've not had for such a long time. The trailer feels quite fresh and new. So, yeah, quickfire honourable mentions. The Karate Kid new film, joining two generations of Karate Kid as Daniel LaRusso and Jackie Chan are in a Karate Kid film together, which I presume will have to follow the story of Cobra Kai, but I don't know. Wicked, the movie, comes out next year, or Wicked Part 1 at least comes out next year.
That's exciting.
Which is obviously based on the musical. Joker Part 2, Folie à Deux, with Lady Gaga joining the cast. Beetlejuice 2 comes out next
that
year.
That sounded bonkers.
Jenna Ortega as well,
yeah,
who I think
Winona
will be perfect.
Ryder returns. Yeah. And A Quiet Place prequel, Day One, comes out this year.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Alan Russell and Chris Wallace, for joining me on RNIB Connect Radio. And it sounds like we need to stock up on popcorn for all of these great releases.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Amelia.
Thank you.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.